It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, greetings and welcome in to Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 37 today. Thank you for being with us. We look forward to this time together all week long, the 1 hour we can spend together. We know you look forward to it as well. Naturism, nudism, clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. You already know the drill. The water is fine. The hot tub is ready to go. The grill is fired up. Cold drinks off to the left. Vegetables, chips, and fruit off to the right. Coffee, tea inside. You can't go wrong. Let's enjoy this clothes-free hour together. Again, for all of the right reasons. Well, on today's show, we will have yet another report from Andy Rogers, the lead, the chair of WINR, Women in Nude Recreation. She's on that tour right now, I'm Perfect tour, and we will have a report from her in just a moment, and her husband Tom joined her as well. We will have the terrific Lisa Monroe here fairly shortly. We're going to talk about loneliness in naturism. It can be lonely when you start up because you're afraid to tell people. You don't want to tell people. Maybe it will affect your job status or your friends or your family. So we will talk about that today and have some suggestions for you. And this is based off of a number of emails, particularly one that we'll focus on today. So we'll read the email to you. We'll talk about loneliness and naturism. Then we'll have some suggestions for you to get going so you can meet some people. And we will have part two of my interview with the very terrific and highly articulate, intelligent lead of Young British Naturism over in the UK, a part of BN. His name, of course, is John Ward or Jonathan Ward, whatever you want to call him. He'll answer to both. And we'll find out more about what he is doing over in the UK to encourage people to join YBN. Well, we are glad that you are with us. Let's enjoy this hour together today. You know what's out there, the water, the food, the drink, the clothes-free living for all the right reasons. And let's kick off today's show right now with the latest report from Andy Rogers from WINR, Women in Nude Recreation. And joining her in this segment is her husband, Tom.
Hi, this is Andy.
And this is Tom with the WINR on Wheels tour. So we arrived at the Sequoians Clothes-Free Club with a very warm welcome. People here are fantastic. The paved road into the park was a little scary with a 32-foot motorhome, but there was no problem if you just take it slow. Every person that wandered by stopped and said hello as we were setting our campsite up for the weekend. They had beautiful grounds among the trees, the deer, foxes, and a few wandering pigs that we did not get to see, but we told they are here.
So Saturday morning, 10 ladies joined in for the I'm Perfect workshop. Before we even started, one woman asked me why. Why are you doing this? I assured her that she would know by the time I was done with my presentation. As I began, I invited everyone who wanted to grab a marker and a poster board to write down words that spoke to them. I'm a word person, and so that's how I learn, listening and writing at the same time. And as I spoke, the ladies would write down words that were meaningful to them, which was encouraging for me. At the end of the presentation, I asked for someone to be a living art piece, and the woman who asked me why volunteered to do that. So we wrote words of encouragement on her body. Her words were strong, confident, great singer, brave, and friendly were what her friends chose for her. Her smile was infectious, and she just glowed from the encouragement these words gave her that were printed on her body. And then for hours afterwards, we all just sat around and had an amazing time connecting with each other and finding out more about each other. All of the women thanked me for sharing my story and how nudism has helped me.
So our men's meeting started about 11 in the morning with a total of 9 men. I talked about why Andy and I were on this adventure that allowed us to meet so many people in clubs. We talked about our organization, AANR, that became the main topic to start out with. They felt they had been overlooked with ANR being a 100% club. So I talked about how Andy and I got involved with ANR by being club directors and going to the regional board meetings and understanding that ANR is a volunteer-based organization. Andy and I realized what it took to take care of our region, and getting involved is the key. By being there with all the club directors and the board meetings, you could get a lot of great ideas to bring back to your clubs. So we, of course, talked about getting new and younger members into our clubs. Family, public eye, jobs, young life, the norm. Thinking this is the reason why we talked about how the club has to have something to offer these younger people to draw them in. Not just the beauty of the club, but some type of function to get them there. We talked for over 3 hours and had a great time. Everybody thought this was a very, very great meeting to attend and that a lot of information was discussed. And we talked for hours, of course.
And then the next day, I spent quite a bit of time with Bill, the club's president, and Deborah Sue Stevens joined us. And I didn't know who she was, but when she mentioned that her husband that had passed was Alonzo Stevens, the light quickly flipped on for me, as we have an Alonzo Stevens GAT award that is given out yearly. And it was really great just to put a face to that name. And she was just absolutely a pleasure to get to talk with. I was so thrilled to meet her. Bill and I spent a lot of time going over what it's like to be a club president and all the responsibilities that go along with that position. And then he shared concerns with me that I hopefully alleviated some of his concerns and made him feel valued and a vital part of the ANR community and just as a person. So spending time with these amazing people at the Sequoians felt like we'd come home, didn't it, honey?
It did. It felt like our home club.
It did. Lots of camaraderie and connection on so many different levels. And we will definitely be back to this gem of a club.
And there you go. What a terrific report from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom. She's on the I'm Perfect tour, educating women about naturism, nudism, and Tom is helping out, talking to men, basically, about the same thing. And we appreciate them very much here. We will have more reports from Andy Rogers as they become available. And, of course, we have an extended interview with her coming up later this year. Well, you are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 37 today. We thank you for being with us. As I always mention, we look forward to this time together. The only thing we ask in return is that you rate us, give us a review, subscribe, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. And if I haven't mentioned it before, 5 is the highest rating you can give, just putting it out there. But we enjoy this time together. We thank you for being with us. And as you can tell by the music that is sneaking in on us ever so sneakily, it's time for the great, the terrific, the one and only, the clothes-free, the very over-the-top smiling, our naturism correspondent, Lisa Monroe. And here she is, the one and only, the terrifically over-the-top, clothes-free, smiling and dancing, and also some more baked goods this week, Lisa Monroe. Good morning, Lisa. How are you today?
I am doing very well. How about yourself?
Not bad at all. I'm eyeing these baked goods over here. What did you bring for us today?
Well, I thought it was chocolate chip cookie time. So there's a whole bunch of chocolate chip cookies and also my favorite oatmeal raisin. So something for everybody.
All right. I didn't look yet, but I could smell the chocolate and I could smell the warmth. And I thought something good is underneath that foil, but I'll dive into it when we're done here. But for today, we have another email from a gentleman who wrote in a lot about loneliness and naturism. He feels very alone. And a lot of people do. We get emails on this all of the time. People want to try it. They have no one to go with. They can't tell anybody. They can't tell their friends. They can't tell their neighbors. So let's go ahead and read through this email, and then we'll discuss it. He says, I've been a loyal listener of your podcast for some time now, and I must say, the content you produce never fails to captivate and enlighten me. You know, I think this guy just became our favorite listener around here. With that opening sentence, he has my attention.
Mine too. That captivate and enlighten. Wow. Thank you very much, sir.
You bet.
Kind.
And he goes on, it's truly a breath of fresh air in an otherwise noisy digital landscape. Well, we thank him for that. Your recent episodes have resonated deeply with me, and I find solace in the fact that I'm not alone in my thoughts and experiences. That's a very good point. You are not alone. We are here. Everybody is here for you.
That's right.
On that note, I'd like to propose a topic for consideration that I believe warrants a thoughtful exploration on your platform, loneliness within the naturist community. As a naturist myself, I've grappled with the profound sense of isolation that often accompanies this lifestyle, and I know I'm not alone in this struggle. And why don't you take it from there?
The loneliness epidemic is a persuasive issue affecting individuals across all walks of life. But for nudists, it can be particularly exacerbated due to the societal taboos surrounding nudity. The stigma makes it increasingly challenging for lonely naturists to connect with like-minded individuals, both online and offline. Even for those fortunate enough to have access to nature's resorts or beaches, the sense of alienation can persist, leaving many feeling adrift in a sea of clothed society. Many lifelong nudists have bravely opened up to their friends and acquaintances about their lifestyle choices, only to be met with indifference and misunderstanding. This leaves them relegated to the confines of their home, yearning for companionship and the opportunity to fully embrace the naturist ethos. In light of these challenges, I believe it's imperative to explore potential solutions and avenues for fostering greater connectivity within the naturist community. How can we bridge the gap between isolated naturists and create a sense of belonging and camaraderie? What initiatives or platforms could be developed to facilitate meaningful interactions and friendships? And perhaps more importantly, why does this sense of loneliness persist within a community founded on principles of acceptance and freedom? I believe that by shedding light on this topic, we can not only raise awareness of the unique struggles faced by naturists, but also work towards creating a more inclusive and supportive environment for all individuals seeking to embrace this lifestyle.
Okay, and I'll finish up. Thank you for considering my suggestion, and I eagerly await the opportunity to hear your insights on this important issue and hope you can find someone with some solutions. Warm regards, a gentleman by the name of Johnny in Texas. Well, here we go. This is another age-old question we get. I want to do this. I love it. I go to the nude beach every weekend, but I can't tell anybody. I can't talk about this at work. If I go to the baseball game, I can spend 3 hours on Monday morning. Hey, you see that game? As you did today, bake cookies, you can tell, hey, you won't believe the cookies I baked, how delicious they are. But if you go to the nude beach on the weekend, people feel like they can't tell anybody because they'll get that look. Oh, you're one of those. You have wild, over-the-top, inappropriate sexual parties every weekend. And that is not the case. Recommendations on that, Lisa. I have a thought in a minute on something related to that. But how do you tell people? How do you include them?
I think it comes back to trust. The people that you trust the most, that, you know, you have a lot of acquaintances in this world. And family sometimes is you're stuck with. You don't have them. As my grandmother said, you have no choice. You're stuck with them. Your friends you can choose.
Yeah.
So I think that it, again, is an individual situation with each and every person that you're dealing with. And unfortunately, too many people are biased against this. Societal constraints are biased against this. So I think sometimes people react because they think they're supposed to be offended or worried or concerned and don't really understand the full nature and won't take the time to have the full nature because they're frightened of it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think what we talk about people is that if you're meeting like a potential partner, be honest. But I don't know how you do that with a potential coworker or a potential best friend. You know, there's a different level of communication there and a different level of give and take that. So I just don't know. It is an age old question. It is impossible, I think, to really come down with a definitive way to approach someone and say, hey, I'm a naturist. Why don't you come join me?
I look at it and I tend to be a fairly black and white person. I do allow for gray areas and color at times. But when push comes to shove, just make a blasted decision. That's what I tell myself. And in this case, you have a choice. Tell people about it and they'll react one of two ways. Oh, really? That sounds terrific. Maybe I'll go with you. Or you're a nutcase. Please don't talk to me anymore. And then you move on. The people who embrace it, great. The people who say you're a knucklehead for taking your clothes off, maybe don't hang around them as much anymore. Or at least you don't to not discuss this with them. You know, if I bring up American football, the NFL, and I bring it up to a person who says, I never watch sports, I think sports are stupid, well, I'm not going to talk to that person about sports anymore. Same with naturism. Hey, I went to the nude beach over the weekend. Oh, really? Well, you're a knucklehead. Okay, I won't talk to them about naturism anymore. That might be the best way to do it, rather than just sit around and stress out and lose sleep over it. Either decide to tell people and accept their decision, and then you make a decision based on that, or just don't tell anybody and do your thing. First of all, what do you think of that before I get to my idea here?
Well, I think that's a very mature way of looking at it and also probably the most reasonable way to look at it because you can't change people. So if it's important enough for you to tell them, then you also have to recognize that, as you said, they're going to act one of two ways. They're either going to go, wow, that sounds great. Tell me more. Or they're going to go, good Lord, what's wrong with you? You know, so, and I've actually heard that before. But I think that's the only way to go. And the problem is that if we are wanting to tell someone, that person's probably important to us. So then there's a level of disappointment that you have when they say you're an idiot. Yeah. So you have to learn how to deal with that. It's like writers or anyone dealing with rejection. You have to learn that sometimes people say no and you have to go on.
Yeah. Now, a suggestion that I was given by somebody in the community is to start your own naturist group. And there are ways to do this. You know, they have Facebook groups. They have meetup groups. And of course, you have to be careful with that. You start inviting people to your home. You never know what you're going to get. And they recommended, okay, so you put it out there on Meetup. We're going to have a naturist book club. And, you know, meaning, and you put details in there. You come to my home. We'll rotate the homes, possibly, whatever. But come to my home for the first meeting. We'll sit around and talk for an hour, you know, have some iced tea and some hors d'oeuvres or whatever. And then we'll have our clothes off either right away or later. You figure that out as you go. And then we'll discuss the book, the first few chapters that we've read that we agreed on for about an hour or so. And then we'll spend the last hour just socializing. If somebody has a pool, dive in. You might maybe have a grill, fire something up. And that way you've started your own naturist community. So you don't have to go out there to the textile people and face the brunt of criticism. What are your opening thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's a very good idea. I think in today's society, it's a little frightening too, to just have open your home up to people that are, that you don't know. Right. But if you take the time to get to know them, maybe set up a group chat, get to know who they are. And even perhaps your first meeting or two could be Zoom, where everybody's sort of comfortable and getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. You can see the environment they're in. You can kind of maybe get the feel for who they are before you actually make it a in-person meeting. But I think if you're lonely in this community or in any community, then reach out. Mm-hmm. Because no one else is going to reach out to you. They don't even know you're there. Right. So, you know, I have a very good friend who was quite lonely, not married. She really wanted to get to know more people. She started a meetup group, just wanted to go out and have dinner with a bunch of people, to go out and have, you know, to go to a play or whatever. It became enormously huge 200 or 300 people in that meeting group. Seriously.
Yeah. That's great.
And it became almost a full-time job for her to keep the events going and the people happy. And, you know, she ended up a tour guide most of the time. And, but the point is that there are people out there who want this, but you, but it's harder to identify who the naturists are to get there. So maybe through the, like you said, the nature's groups online, through other places, you know, strike up a friendship with someone if they're in your area and see how it goes. You know, everybody's lonely. I don't care what what anyone says. You know, there is a sense of loneliness in a lot of people. And, you know, when we have a path, are we willing to take it to get there?
Yeah. And you mentioned maybe getting together by Zoom first, definitely a good idea. I would even recommend getting together with clothes on at a local restaurant just for coffee or some of your cookies.
Yeah. I'll provide the cookies for any event like that.
And you get to know people first because you're talking about complete strangers you've reached out to on the internet through Meetup or Facebook or whatever. So meet them, get to know them. And if you feel comfortable, go forward. And the first meeting would be at your house. And I would recommend keeping it small. You don't want 100 people, but 4, 5, 6 max. I mean, I wouldn't go beyond that. And if that goes well, then maybe bring another one or two in and start to grow it to the level you feel comfortable with. And I know a guy who, another guy who started a group like that, not a book club. He was just a flat out, hey, we're going to hang out clothes free for all the right reasons all day. Anybody want to join me will come to my home. And he did it securely and safely. And now it's grown to, I think he said 75 people. And when they have outings, which are almost always on the weekend, whether his house or another member's house, basically all 75 show up and they just have a great time. And they're always looking for new members. They will take anybody and everybody. Of course, they police it. You know, if you think you're going to show up and do something you shouldn't do, you'll be escorted out and you'll never be allowed back in. So that's a suggestion. You know, you can't. It's up to you if you want to tell your family, friends, people at work. They're going to respond one of two ways, either please get out of my life or this is great news or maybe somewhere in between. And then you decide from there what you want to do. Or like we suggested just now, start your own meetup group. Keep it small, keep it safe, keep it simple, and never put yourself at risk. And a naturist book club is an easy way to go. That's an easy way to get started because you have something else to focus on besides the nudity. We're just getting together to discuss the latest James Patterson book or a James Bond book or whatever book. But at the same time, you're enjoying clothes-free living for all the right reasons.
I think that's an excellent idea. I know that there are an awful lot of naturists who enjoy cooking. A dinner club.
Yes.
You know, is an idea. Cooking classes, you know, theme night, whatever. There are a lot of ways you can break the ice with people. Breaking the ice with the textile people is not so hard. Breaking the ice with those of us who are naturists, we're always also going to go, why do you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? Because I think there's an innate fear of people who are doing it for all the wrong reasons. I've even heard of people who've gone to naturist clubs who feel lonely there. You know, I think most of the people are, you know, open and friendly, but it's that cross the line into, are you part of our group? Or are you not part of our group? And so people sometimes are reluctant to let a new face in. So they may even be there and they may be chatting and having a nice time, but they also may feel they're not part of the group. So I think it behooves all of us, if there's someone who really wants to do this, that we figure out how to make them feel welcome and content. And if it's good for them, they'll stay. If it's not, they'll go.
There you go. And, you know, I mentioned the Naturist Book Club as an example. How about just a flat out naturist activity? Hey, who wants to meet me at 10 o'clock at such and such a nudist resort or such and such a nude beach if you happen to be near one? And maybe that's a good way to get to know people. That way you're on safe ground, safe territory. It's not your home. Lots of ways to do it. And I'm not suggesting any of these are easy. And some will work sometimes and some will not work sometimes. But they are suggestions because there is a lot of loneliness in the naturism community, especially when you're first starting out. And after you meet people, and it's like anything else, you become ingrained and You get confidence in them, they get confidence in you, and then it expands from there. But certainly when you're starting out, I guess you just have to reach out and be prepared for no from a lot of people. Like, hey, who wants to meet me at the nude beach? And nobody writes back. Well, okay, try it again a few weeks later. Just keep trying until you break the ice and get your own group going while you're seeking other groups as well. Decent advice, you think?
I think it's an excellent advice, and I think it's the only way to go. I mean, we have choices, but we don't have a lot of choices. You know, they're right. Just certain places that we can approach this as naturists. So, you know, go to the nude beach, sit on the towel, smile at people, you know, Don't leer at people, smile at people, you know, hey, great day, or beach surfs up or whatever. Yeah. Make those connections, because if someone's responsive, you may be able to develop that relationship right then. And or at least, you know, develop it down the road.
Yeah, it's a never ending process. There are no simple solutions. And so we encourage people to keep trying, and please continue to write in. And we also want to remind people, please give us a review and a rating. You have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all three would be great. Whatever you're listening to us on now, send us a message, give us a review. We'd appreciate that very much. And Lisa Monroe, we are going to head for the hills. Thank you very much. Thank you for the cookies. I'll be diving into those after you leave, and maybe I'll share them with the staff. And if they don't know they came in, maybe I won't share them with the staff. We'll have to see. But in the meantime, have a great, clothes-free, happy, smiling, dancing week. We'll see you next time.
You too, Frank. And enjoy the cookies. And yes, everybody knows, so you're going to have to share. Sorry.
All right. It's one of the vicissitudes of life.
Exactly.
have a great week, Lisa. We'll
you
see
too.
You next time.
Bye, Frank.
Bye. The very terrific Lisa Monroe. We appreciate her very much, obviously, for her input in the segments, but also the sunshine that she brings to the studio, the baked goods, and yes, running our website. How about that? The terrific Lisa Monroe, we thank you very much. You are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 37 today. Hope you're enjoying the hour clothes-free as we are here. Social naturism at its finest. Clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. Takes away all the dumb barriers, and we're just each other. You're you, I'm me, and we're enjoying life together. Well, let's get to part two now of my interview with the lead of Young British Naturists, the terrific John Ward. And really, I've noticed the same thing when I, you know, meet somebody who's a naturist. Okay, you know, great, whatever. And then I'll pass them in a store and they're fully dressed. It's like, and they say hi to me. And it's like, okay, who are you?
Yeah.
It takes a moment. And then either they tell you or you recognize them and you have a conversation from there. When I was in that age range, 18 to 35, and a naturist activity was involved, and I, you know, asked somebody, hey, you know, you want to go? I'd get one of two responses when they got there. You know, they would go and say, all right, well, you know, let's get our clothes off and enjoy the day. And some people had them off in, you know, half a second, and other people, I don't know, you know, can I just keep them on for a while? Because I'm not sure. But also the activities then was basically involved clothes off, sit by the pool, have some iced tea and listen to the radio, and then eventually we'll go home. And I've been told, and this is where you come in, because you're the expert on this whole thing. We're talking to John Ward, the lead of Young British Naturists, 18 to 35 group. I've been told if there are activities, like you've mentioned, such as maybe a 5K nude run or a nude volleyball game or a nude this, that, or the other thing, younger people now are more likely to say, sure, sign me up. But if you say, let's go to the pool and sit there for 8 hours, they might not do that. Is that part of the deal, too, with the younger crowd?
I think partially yes, partially no. Part of the issue is, of course, that there is comparatively very few younger people in naturism. Hmm. And there are a lot of clubs spread out across the country. So you need something to pull people in. Yeah. If you're looking at the sphere of influence that one club has, let's say, to pull people into that club, if it's just going to camp there or to, you know, just have a social catch up with a couple of people or maybe sit by the pool for the day, you're only going to be drawing people in from the local area. But if you're having events like, for example, a 5K run, people will travel a lot further to get to that. So you might then be pulling in people from 1 or 2 hours drive away because they've quite fancy doing a 5K run nude. So Yes and no. I think there are people, like for me, I actually quite enjoy just sitting around and doing nothing as well. Yeah, I mean, I'm busy at work through the week, so I actually like low intensity activities on a weekend. But again, because of the distance between people a lot of the time, you don't get large crowds of people attending one place unless there's something to pull them in. So I'm looking at options at the moment for, you know, we're having a barbecue, we're having like a games weekend at a club later on this year. We're discussing at one point as well, clear pigeon shooting practice, which is just weird enough to get lots of people to come to it, I'm sure. I can feel that's going to be a good one if you can pull it off. So there's lots of different options to get people engaged. I think mainly it's distance that can be the issue. Bearing in mind that in the UK, we don't have the same car culture as in the US. So a lot of people who are younger just simply don't drive or don't have a car because they just rely on public transport. They get a bus to go to work, or they might get a train or the walk. Okay. It's not as common to have vehicles. So part of the challenge, of course, has been on top of that, how do people get to these places? If they're not in a city or on a bus route, how do you make sure that person's got access to visit the club to actually attend the event?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
There's a lot of additional coordination that goes on behind the scenes too with events. And that is part of my role as well in terms of putting people in contact with each other in their local area who might be able to help out. Okay. So there's lots of different aspects that can influence attendance at events.
Right. Now, we're in the middle of winter, for lack of a better term, not one of my favorite terms, but we're in the cold weather months. We've established that. So all of your activities right now, I'm guessing, are inside. About how many do you have a month, do you think, on the average, during the cold months?
Oh, most of the events that we have during cold months are primarily based around swimming type events. So hiring out a swimming pool. Okay. Typically, it'll be a council run, so one run by a government funded pool, essentially, shall we say. I don't know what the equivalent is in the US or for international sort of audience members, but a lot of the time it is swim type events. So hire out a pool for a few hours, go and meet friends there, have a cup of tea by the pool, go to the sauna, that kind of thing. Lots of those events continue through the winter. Some clubs do remain open, but not all clubs have got indoor facilities. So ones that do and can afford to put heating on nowadays as well because of the cost of living crisis here in the UK. It does limit a lot of the time what you're able to do. So we do have some national events as well taking place in colder months. So we've got an event in Bournemouth, which is a seaside town that is near London. And we've also got an event next month in Blackpool, which again is a seaside resort too. But those are indoor hotel events. Because, again, you don't want to be going out when it's freezing like this.
Right, right.
Not for much longer than 5 minutes.
Right. Now, when it gets warm and we get to the summer weather, do you have more activities? And are they mostly outside at that point?
Absolutely. Well, we try and make the most of the few warm days we actually have a year. Yeah. It's a little bit of a gamble as to whether or not the weather will actually be nice.
Yeah.
But activities do really start to increase in number around about May, June, July time. Okay. So on our YBN calendar, we've got a number of weeks where we've got back-to-back events that people can take part in. But in winter, we might only have one or two things in that month, or maybe just one thing. So it very much depends on the month and the weather, because people don't want to spend time outside when it's cold. And also people just generally aren't anywhere near as engaged during winter.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to build upon that a little bit. With potentially some online meets and online socials. But that's something that's in the works for next year. Yeah. I prefer to focus on the social in-person aspect of naturism rather than virtual engagement, because I don't get the same from virtual things. I don't particularly enjoy them, to be honest.
No.
But if you've got the option of not keeping in contact with your naturist friends or an online meet, then you probably are going to go for an online meet. So it's good to at least provide the option to people.
Yeah. Somebody from British Naturism told me, especially during the COVID period, they'd have online engagements and about half of the people would show up with clothes on, which upset the clothes-free people. It's like, wait a minute, we're a naturist organization, naturist activity. What are you guys doing? And I don't know if that ever got resolved, if that's still going on, but and I know you're not, I don't think you're a psychologist. I'm certainly not a psychologist, but what kind of thinking would go on in a person's mind? I'm going to log into the British Naturism, clothes-free living for all the right reasons, and I'm going to be fully dressed. Does that make any sense at all?
Depends on what it is. If it's an online event at home, I personally think while you're joining a naturist online event, you should probably be naked at that point. Yeah. If it's an in-person event and it's just really cold outside, there is nothing wrong with wearing clothes at all. And you don't have to be naked 100% of the time. The weather isn't great, and for example, you go to a festival, but it's really cold or it's raining on an evening, it's fine to put a poncho on or to put some clothes on.
Sure.
Absolutely fine, because that's practical. Yeah. There's no point in freezing for the sake of being a naturist. There's plenty of times where the weather's nice in a year as well.
Well, this person, I think, was talking about, they were at home and they were online from their comfort of their living room or kitchen, and yet they wanted to stay dressed. But that's their issue. I was just wondering if you had anything to, any experiences with that. Now, let me ask you directly and personally. We've talked about some nude activities, such as a 5K run or nude volleyball. Sadly, believe it or not, even though I'm a runner and I run on the beach every morning here, I've never been to a nude 5K run, mostly because the closest ones always seem to be about 2 hours away and they're early in the morning. It's just a pain in the neck. I keep saying, well, I'll do one soon. But I've been saying that for a whole bunch of years. Have you done any of that? And I don't mean right now as the lead of Young British Naturists, but in your younger years before you joined and even while you were a member but not the lead, did you ever do anything like that?
In all fairness, the only time that I run is for a pizza delivery. I'm not really into exercise myself. I understand that people are. I don't fully understand it myself. I've never been into fitness. Yeah. So it's not something that I've particularly enjoyed at any point. I see it as more of an arduous task than something that's enjoyable. But I do acknowledge that a lot of people do enjoy that. And we've got, I think, 3 events planned this year that involve sports or 5K runs or something of that nature. And typically it's a weekend where you'll go to somewhere like the Naturist Foundation, which is where Helen Berryman works for, spend some time camping there. And then there's a 5K run at the end of it. I don't know why you'd want to do it myself, but a lot of people love it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We need to provide opportunities for a range of different interests. I will probably go to some this year, but I think I might just leave the running because I don't have a body made for that, unfortunately. But I do enjoy the social side, so I'll probably go for the social rather than the actual activity.
Well, you don't have to run in the nude 5K run. You can actually walk the path too, just putting it out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably more likely what I would do if I had to take part in it. But for me, naturism is more about socializing with people that are like-minded than it is taking part in things such as 5K runs.
Yeah.
But it's important that we have that variety for people to make sure that they stay engaged. So there are other people in BN who help me organize those events and have those contacts. So Ian Munt is our sports lead. So he helps to organize these events and starts to put together an itinerary. And we promote it within YBN circles from there on. So we've got lots of people in the organization who are happy to take part and specialize in those areas that help out. It's working together.
Yeah. Now, strangely, I've run nude on the beach forever. I've run nude through trails where I knew there would be nobody there. I've just never been to a nude 5K run. And every once in a while, I'll think about it. And, oh, yeah, I've never done that before. But that can happen too. You know, the vicissitudes of life, get in the way. And before you know it, you bypass some opportunities. And I know the World Naked Bike Ride, I hear from a lot of people in the UK when it happens there. I'm not sure when that happens. That's not necessarily something you're affiliated with, right? That's its own separate entity?
It is. And it's not strictly naturism. So a lot of our members do go to the World Naked Bike Ride and, have a fantastic time. But it doesn't always follow the principles of naturism. So it's not something that we are part of organizing, let's say. It is its own separate entity. But like I said, a lot of people do really enjoy it and have a great experience there. And it's nice to try something different and push your own boundaries. It's very different going to something like a World Naked Bike Ride compared to going to a naturist event, because you're out in public. And a lot of our events don't always involve being out in public naked.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
So I haven't done one of those. There's part of me that's tempted, but it's not really my kind of thing. Okay. I love going to places like beaches and going to spas and attending festivals, but I'm not somebody who likes to, push those social boundaries. And I think if we're not too careful, we can do more harm than good when doing that.
I had not thought about that, and I'm thinking about it right now because you said it. What is different when you go to the World Naked Bike Ride? You said it's not true naturism. Is that because there are people enclosed there watching or participating, or what am I missing here?
It's hard to say exactly, but the intentions of people who go there, it's not always in line with naturist principles of clothes free for all the right reasons, shall we say.
Okay.
So there are some people who go there with other motives in mind, and that's why I'm cautious to attend and I'm cautious to promote it too much because it isn't always for the right reasons. I'm not saying that detracts from the fantastic work they do in terms of fundraising for charities, etc. Brilliant. But you've got to be very cautious about where you put your support when you're endorsing an event on behalf of, you know, an organization such as British Naturism.
Okay, well, that's good information. I didn't know that, and I'm glad you said that for our listeners to hear. If they've not been to one before, now they're forewarned. It might not be exactly what you think. There could be some other stuff going on.
I am not in any way saying don't go to it, because I personally haven't experienced it myself. Just going on feedback that I've received from people who've gone to the events, been to the after parties, which have been definitely not naturist in some in some situations. So if you do go, make of it as you will. Do what you're comfortable with. If you are going from a strictly naturist point of view, just don't take part in those things. But be mindful that it's not naturism in its entirety.
Yeah. Now, I'm picturing myself on a bike riding nude through a town, because that's usually where it's at. It's in a town. It's not off in some off-beaten path in the middle of nowhere. It's usually through a city. And so, you know, if you drive by particular buildings every day and then you're riding a bike nude past those same landmarks, to me, that would be somewhat of exhilarating to experience that. But also, you know, we talk about the wind on our skin, the other elements, the sun, and you know, obviously the breeze. You know, I already mentioned the wind, but that's what I would look forward to if I were to do one. But I'm glad you put it out there that it might not be 100% that way, or it can be. You just go there. I'm doing the naked bike ride for clothes-free living for all the right reasons. And when it's over, my bike's going in the trunk, and I'm headed home. So that, I'm glad you said that, because if I ever get to one of those, that's another thing. They're always 2 hours away. 2 or 3 hours away, that's probably what I'll do. So that's very good advice.
Of course, it depends very much on how they are in the US, because I'm only going on the one that's in London and things that I've heard about the London-based World Naked Bike Ride. So it may be different in your locality. I can't say for certain.
Now, if somebody is in that age range, and we're talking to John Ward, the lead of Young British Nature, if somebody's in the age range of 18 to 35, they hear this interview or they read something in the paper, say, hey, I think I might be interested in giving this a shot. What is the next step? Do they call you? Do they email? What do they do?
So you go to our website, which is British Naturism, and just have a look at the sign-up section. There is a discounted rate for people who are 18 to 35, so there's less of a financial commitment to join up. As soon as you join up, you will get an email from myself just explaining about what local events we've got, a little bit about naturism and about British naturism. And that is a really good way to just find your feet in the first instance. If you've got any questions, of course, you can always send a message back and I'll answer as soon as I can. If you are unsure about signing up, there is an email address and I'll get all the emails from there that's on the Young British Naturism page on the British Naturism website. Always feel free to just ping me an email and I'll be happy to help with anything. The main thing that I advocate for is just trying something small and local to start with, if you're not sure. Because if you don't like it, then you've not lost much. You've given it a go. And I always believe in just pushing your boundaries every now and again, doing something that makes you feel uncomfortable. Because you find very quickly that your boundaries are then, you know, pushed a little bit further and extended.
That's right.
I, for example, used to live with quite a high degree of social anxiety, where I couldn't go into a restaurant and even order food by myself without being terrified. And just through pushing my boundaries, I now am able to travel by myself to places like China and to North Korea, where you wouldn't necessarily go unless you had a lot of confidence in your abilities to stay safe, let's say. So naturism for me was part of that as well. It was pushing my own boundaries. And I'm pleased that I did, because I've had, not just with naturism, but generally, so many fantastic experiences, because I like to be outside my comfort zone sometimes. Not all the time, but just sometimes, in a healthy way.
Yeah, if we took that to the extreme, nobody would ever walk around because crawling on the floor, you know, that's kind of comfortable. People bring stuff to me. I don't have to go up and get it. We'd never learn to walk. So yeah, you got to push your boundaries a little bit. Yeah.
Everything that we do in life, there will be a degree of risk with it.
Sure.
And naturism, in all fairness, there's no real risk that I can see in most activities. Yeah. If you don't like it, you walk away and you might not even see those people again who you met there. You might do, but chances are you probably won't. So you've not lost anything.
That's right.
And it's a non-judgmental community and there's no need to worry. So I would say if you're interested, sign up, give it a go. If you enjoy it, fantastic. You've found something that will suck up all of your free time if you want it to. If you don't enjoy it, then at least you've tried something that's a little bit different and new. And that's important for personal development, I think.
Yeah. Now, if they are looking to fill their schedule, like I'm just not a busy enough person, I'm going to join Young British Naturists, you would be willing to put them to work in a volunteer basis, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's lots to do. There's lots of things that I aspire to do over the next few years, but the constraint will always be my time. I have a professional job and I manage quite a large team of people. And this is something that I do on a volunteer basis on the side as well as that. Yeah. So the limiting factor for YBN is essentially my time at the moment. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get more people involved. I'd like to have a little bit of a plan for succession after I leave. Yeah. Or after I'm no longer in post, so there's somebody else to take the mantle as well.
Yeah.
And that's important that we foster new leaders in naturism, somebody who's happy to, you know, go a little bit further to help other people enjoy this lifestyle. Because I personally have got so much from naturism and I'm really thankful for the people that helped me when I first got into naturism.
Yeah.
And it's good to provide that to somebody else as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking at your website, the British Naturism website, but it's the Young British Naturist page. And there's a sentence or two here that just jumped out at me. I thought, you know, if people read this, they might be joining, you know, later today or after the show is over. Not a lot naked happens in this country that we don't know about or get involved in. It's like, well, there you go. You're the go-to place for people to find out what in the world's going on with clothes free. But also you say on your page, above all else, we promote a safe, friendly and welcoming environment while having fun meeting new people and exploring naturist venues and events all over the country and abroad. You can't really get that kind of a guarantee about, above all else, safe, friendly, welcoming. I've been to places, textile venues, maybe not 100% safe, really not friendly at all. And I still to this day haven't been welcomed at some places. They didn't even say hi to me. I just kind of left and nobody even knew I was there. But you guarantee if people show up at an event, somebody will say hello to them and engage them in conversation, right?
Absolutely. And like I said earlier, BN brings nice people. The people that you meet at naturist events overwhelmingly will be nice people who are just interested in meeting a new friend, a new potential friend in naturism. Yeah. And that is one of the nicest things about our community. I felt welcomed from the first time that I attended an event. And that's what's kept me coming back time and time again. It's those social friendships that I've forged in a very short space of time. And bearing in mind that I only really came into British Naturism in 2018. And then we had COVID in between, which meant that opportunities to socialize were limited. So I've probably only really been engaged for 2.5 years, let's say.
Okay.
But during that time, I have been active, you know, online, etc. But I've not been in British Naturism for particularly long.
Okay.
But because I've been made to feel so welcome and because people have put trust in me to help organise things now as well, I've just gradually become more and more involved and become a bigger part of the organisation.
Yeah. Now, on that website, I just read it a moment ago, exploring nature's venues and events all over the country and abroad. So where else do you go other than the UK?
So we have some members who are organising a trip to Euronat, which is in France. Okay. That's a large naturist, don't know how you call it, resort, let's say. I'm also planning with Jamie, who's deputy YBN lead, a trip, actually it's next week now, to Cologne in Germany. So that's just to go and try out some of the, nude-friendly spas in Germany. Mm-hmm. Not strictly naturist, but there's more of an open culture in Germany.
Yeah.
So going to go and try those out. I've not been to them. We just thought, well, why not invite other people as well?
Yeah.
So we're organising events like that. We are trying to make it so that there's one international event each year. We may increase that. But again, the limit that we hit is the time that myself and Jamie have to put into these events. And Jamie's not currently organising local events. That's more me currently. Mm-hmm. But we just need more people to come and help out. And I'm hoping that as we rebuild Young British Naturism, we'll have more people who want to take that leading role moving forward.
And ideally, you'd have a cadre of people. Maybe each person could take an event. So John Ward's not traveling, you know, 500 days a week to these events. Mm-hmm. You'd have other people. Okay, I'll do one or two events, John, but then I have to get back to, you know, my family or, you know, my work that I do to bring money to my family. And so you're not looking for volunteers to do everything 365 days a year. Just do something to help out, right?
Exactly. Small things can make a big difference.
Yeah.
And in terms of YBN at the moment, I'm very much of the opinion of build it and they will come.
Yeah.
So if we start providing events that people want to go to, they'll start inviting people that they know, they'll get their naturist friends to come along as well. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, you know, with critical mass, we'll start to be able to offer more and more and maybe more international events. And we'll get more people volunteering and wanting to take a leading role. So I'm hoping that's the direction that we're going. And it certainly feels like it now. Mm-hmm. You know, bearing in mind that I've not been in this post for particularly long currently, I've not had a full summer season yet, but I can already feel that there is a big difference in Young British Naturism now. There's lots of people wanting to help, even if it's just something small. Like I said, it all adds up and makes a big difference.
Yeah, well, I found out in leading different organizations, people always want to help. Only a few will step forward and say, "Hey, John Ward, can I help out?" The other 98% will just be waiting. I hope John calls today. I'd love to help out. And so you're right to do what you're doing. If you just ask, you'd be surprised at how many people will say, "Yes, I've been waiting for this phone call. I'd love to do it." And I'm guessing you're finding that out now, even in your first year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of people are saying, "Need any help with this?" I'm more than happy to lend my assistance. Because even if sometimes it's just people knowing others, so having contacts, that makes a big difference too, because that can help to open doors. So it's not just about hands-on assistance for events or making those calls. It's sometimes just putting me in contact with people who might be able to help out. That makes a massive difference to us all.
Mm-hmm. Now, somebody in the United States who's kind of a big name in naturism, I don't want to mention the name, I don't have permission to do so, told me that he or she has a British Naturism membership. It's an international membership. Is that something that's still going on?
Absolutely. So you can join as an international member. I don't believe that you get a copy of the magazine sent through in the post, but you've got access to that, of course, online. It is a reduced amount for international members. But we do have quite a few members in the US. I can think of about 5 active people currently. So we do have some people attending our large events as well from the States and other parts of Europe. So we've got NKD Youth and Family Festival. We've also got Everybody Festival as well, which is one of our new initiatives to bring people who are naturism curious into naturism. So yeah, we do have quite a lot of people coming from quite far away to try out what naturism has to offer here in the UK. And it's fantastic to see that, because not a lot of other countries have as many events and as much in terms of youth and family engagement as we do
Yeah.
So it's something that we're really trying to sell, not just to UK members, but also potentially to an international audience as well. Because I love it when we get people coming from the US or we have people coming from, you know, other parts of Europe. Mm-hmm. It's great to see that, you know, we are having enough of an influence on people that they're considering literally flying to the country to attend one of our events. I think that's fantastic.
Well, that's actually my next question.
I'm proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You should be. My next question, you basically just answered. If I get an international British Naturism membership, and then tomorrow I fly to the UK, I can have access to UK British Naturism events because I have that international membership?
Some of the events you can sign up for without membership as well. So we do have some events that are members only, but you do get a discount for membership on events. So typically, actually, you will save more money with a membership with the event discount.
Yeah.
But you don't technically have to be for most of our events. You can sign up as a non-member too.
Well, I didn't know that. Okay.
But there are some that are hidden behind the membership wall.
So that's really not a bad idea. If somebody, I don't know if I want to spend the money, I don't know if I want to join, they can get into an event and try it out for the cost of whatever the activity is, right?
And of course, we have online sessions, so online fitness classes, meditation, Nature's meditation on obviously Nature's fitness. So we've got those options too, which are accessible via membership. So we do have lots of other activities that are virtual that you could sign up for remotely and get to know some people through that method as well. It's like I say, I love seeing people visiting our events from abroad. It's just fantastic to see that people are being drawn by something that we're offering here in the UK, because it's not much in terms of weather to, you know, advertise naturism here.
That's for sure.
Well, you're doing something right, because even here in the United States, I hear about British naturism all of the time. And I don't even go looking for things. They just pop up, or somebody will mention, oh, do you hear what British naturism is doing? Or YBN, Young British Naturist. No, I hadn't heard that. And I'll go online, son of a gun, there it is. You know, whether it's an event or another issue of the magazine is coming out or whatever you guys do. And overall, in terms of population, the UK is not as big as a whole lot of other countries. There are a lot of countries substantially bigger than the UK. Yet, I hear more news out of the UK than any country in the world, I guess, except for the US. So you're doing something right, John Ward. How about that?
Well, I mean, if you look at the International Naturist Federation, we've got lots of partner organizations in different countries internationally. And some of those organizations are larger than us in terms of membership. But there's very few groups that actually rival us in terms of the number of events and the broad nature of the events that we put on. And it's really nice to see. And again, that means that we do actually draw people in a lot of the time from abroad. So we had the Everybody Festival last year, and we had a couple of people who came from Germany. I think one person from Spain as well, which was, again, good to see, because I love international engagement. I think that's fantastic. We've just had one of our YBN members appointed as a youth officer for the International Naturist Federation as well. I don't know the exact title. I think it's youth officer, which, again, is great. I want to really build our international engagement now moving forward. Having James in that position, I know that he won't mind me mentioning his name, is absolutely fantastic because I can then promote more so what we can offer in partnership with other organisations such as the organisation in the Netherlands or in Germany. It's just great. I love meeting people who have a similar interest, but who have got a different background to us, or have a different social background because they live in a different country. I just think it's great. I love that.
It is. Well, we've been talking to John Ward, the lead of Young British Naturist, part of a British Naturist organization. And John, I'll just say it flat out. You didn't ask me to say this. You're certainly not paying me to say this, but you're a magnificent voice for Young British Naturists. You understand it. You get it. You're working your tail off. I'm purposely not going to ask you how many hours a week you put in, because I think the number would fall out of my chair and pass out. But I know you're working really hard, and you're promoting clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. And we encourage everybody to join a British Naturist. And if you're between 18 and 35, they can join YBN. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. Absolutely.
Well, great job. Anytime you want to come on the show, if you have an event to promote, we can give you a slot, and we want to help you to help others to discover naturism and to continue their joy of clothes-free living. So, John Ward, anything comes up, let us know. We'll get you on.
Oh, we shall do. Absolutely. It's been lovely speaking to you today. Like I say, thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. Again, John Ward, the lead of Young British Naturists. I would say go out there and have a great clothes-free day, but I know you're in the corporate world, so that'll have to wait until you get home. But definitely go out there and have a great day.
Thank you very much. You too.
Thank you. The very terrific John Ward. We appreciate all of his time. Last week's show, this week's show, what a terrific guy. And you can find him at bn.org.uk. You've been listening to Naked Nudist and Naturist, episode 37 today. Hope you enjoy the hour. We look forward to it every week, and we hope that you enjoy it as much as we do, our little weekly get-together. Well, thank you for being with us today on Naked Nudist and Naturists, episode 37 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistandnaturist.com, Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts. And also on Twitter, you can write us anywhere, anytime, any place. And we thank you for being with us today. Plan to join us for every single one of our shows here and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying the naturist life.
We celebrate clothes-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked and join us again for Naked Nudist and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked Nudist and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.